JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour, and right now we're joined by legendary footy player, coach and administrator Neil Baum.
Our next guest had a deadly left foot.
It comes back towards Neil Baum. He walks onto the left foot, almost falls, gets the left foot to the ball. And back to Neil Baum.
And a deadlier temper.
Wait for Baum doing that left.
He won two flags with the Tigers as a player and has led them to three as their GM of footy.
And it will be the Tigers, their third premiership in 4 years. One of the great teams.
Please welcome Neil Baum.
So there are some blokes, Rabs, that premierships follow.
Yep.
And there are some blokes that they don't. And we got them both in this room. We got Barmy, who's been involved in 10 plus.
He has.
And then you've got Fat, who never actually was involved in any.
Oh, welcome, Neil. Well done to you. Two as a player, two as a coach at Norwood, six as a administrator, 50 years in footy and still going. Do you still love it?
I do, as a matter of fact, just as well. But no, yeah. I've always loved footy. Good fun. I mean, why wouldn't you? It's all about people. It's just different people the whole time, different challenges through different people, and it's a lovely game, good fun, changed a fair bit. But when I look back on it, I think I played for Subiaco in 1968.
Can you believe that? I can't believe that.
I was only a baby then, I must admit.
Born in 68.
Well, I think I was only just born too.
You were 16 actually back then. So, and that's interesting. When you played, and we only see those highlights and hear it, but you're tough, you're hard, dirty. Some say a dirty player.
That was a bit dirty.
But everyone that knows you, you're a calm, cool, guarded, and a gentle giant. So was that really you playing? Or?
Oh, it was certainly me playing.
No, I know it was you.
But I think I figured it out. I figured out what my teammates needed me to do. Richmond in those days were kill or be killed in a lot of ways. It was you've just got to win and you've got to do everything you can to win. And I sort of figured it out. And I was able to figure out what you could get away with. And imposing yourself on your opponent was an important way of us making it hard for them to play well and us perhaps to win. And then so intimidating them, and I still took the risk of them intimidating me as well, but I was actually reasonably good at it in the end. It's not really in my nature.
No.
But I got away with it and did a lot of things that when you look at it, you think, oh, I'm not really that proud of that when you look at it. But it was just part of what we did. Like even when you're talking to Sticks before, I said all the blokes used to punch him in the back of the head. And all that used to happen so much.
Yep.
And it was kind of just part of what you accepted. And it's one of the things about today's footy that annoys me is that, you know, you get a down-the-field free kick if someone bumps into the bloke who kicks the ball. Well, to me, that's rubbish. Yep, the game's it is a challenging game. We're supposed to bump. If he whacks him, FAD.
Yeah, that's
but if he just bumps into him, stop imposing yourself.
So how did you get there? Because the four games as a 16-year-old at Subi, with Graham Richmond, I imagine, like was the great Graham Richmond part of the Tigers at that point.
And yes,
he was. That administration was legendary. How did you go from a 16-year-old at Subi to a premiership player at Richmond?
It wasn't a footy decision. My dad was transferred to Melbourne to work. So we had to shift. I had no thought of leaving Perth at all.
Yeah, right, okay.
So we shift to Melbourne. I'm still going to school. And in those days, it was the cult of law where blokes like Cole Beard and Sid Jackson, a few other, they almost had to stand out for 12 months because all the Victorian teams were pinching the players from Adelaide and Perth. But because I was going to school, I was available, if you like, even though I'd played a couple of senior games for Subi as a kid. And so we spoke to most of the clubs, and Alan Schwab had just started as the secretary of Richmond. GR was there, but they were pretty clever because we weren't committed to anyone. Collingwood were talking to my old man, trying to recruit him, I think. Ooh. I think, typical. trying to recruit us.
Yes.
But then at the Essendon Airport when we landed, Jack Dyer was there with Schwabby and GR or whatever. And we didn't know they were. We didn't know they were. But they've put us in the car and dropped us off.
At
the, which is good.
So you could have gone to Collingwood.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, we had to go through the process of deciding what to do. And then Schwabby was very clever because my brother, elder brother Ian and I were there and we're both in the chop-up. He played under-19s with me as well. Schwabby figured us out and he says, next week we're going to the Gold Coast for a training trip, etc. If you sign, you can come.
Oh. And
we said, where do we sign? Very easy to get, we were. So, which was a really important part of my life, as it turns out, as a Richmond person, but that was one of the initial things. So we didn't come here to play footy. We came here because Dad was transferring his job.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
Well, what a great decision you made, because you played for Richmond in an incredible time.
We were very lucky. It was wonderful. The 70s were fantastic. Played with some wonderful players, and Tommy was the coach, and we were, you know, really committed. And it was a very strong bond between all the other players and amongst ourselves. So it was a wonderful time for me.
And you've become even more famous, probably, as an administrator, and as Bill said, as a footy administrator. So you went to all of these incredible clubs, including Geelong, when they had that amazing run of premierships, and you were universally loved as a footy person rather than, you know, a commercial person or any of the rest of it. You were the person that seemed to be the glue in the footy in those clubs.
You weren't a bullshitter.
Oh, I'm the only football person that's not there.
Well, but then you...
No, well, I'm not. I mean, no. That, by nature, I'm lucky that I actually genuinely give a hoot about people and want them to do better. And that's been kind of what I've always tried to do, trying to make everyone else as good as they can be, which is sort of a footy thing, but not always. And that was probably why I've been reasonably good as an administrator, because I do actually care about them, and I know enough about footy to know what's important, et cetera. But, I mean, I can easily talk myself up, but I have had a great time.
No,
I've really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it.
Exactly what Geelong needed. This is all in the book, by the way, Neil Balm, A Tale of Two Men, which we'll talk about shortly.
And so I probably wasn't quite mad enough to be a coach is my problem. See, the coaches are going to go to the crazy limits, and I was a bit too reasonable, I think. Yeah. And we're just talking to Steve Kernan earlier on, and he said, as a coach of the state team, he just said, oh, yeah, this is state team. Just, you know. Run around, use the foot, have a bit of fun.
Indian file.
Yeah, well.
Well, you did coach at Melbourne, of course, and there was an interesting time there, the merger with Hawthorn and Melbourne.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
was
horrible.
Was terrible?
Yeah. Well, it was very difficult because you're so committed to what happens indoors between you and the players and the team and all this other stuff on the outside's happening. It was quite difficult to deal with, really, in lots of ways. And because the board had said, yeah, okay, we're interested in this, I felt I had to agree with it. Said, yeah, well, I agree with the merger. Well, I didn't really.
No,
But, you know, we kind of had to be one voice at a club. But it was a very difficult time. And then it doesn't work. And Scotty jumps up and says, what the hell are we doing this for? Which is probably a pretty wise thing to have said.
Yeah.
And then Melbourne, because they've done the strategic planning exercise and says, if we got more money and more good players, we'll be a better club. Well, you don't have to be a genius to come and say, I reckon. And so that's the more money thing. All of a sudden, there's a Joseph Gutnick bobs up and he's going to give him a heap of money. So to get that, they've got to give him some sort of control and power and say. And sadly, he had absolutely no idea what he was about.
He did not.
Which wasn't that helpful to me.
As a former coach of Melbourne, were you, even though you're now ensconced at Tigerland, were you able to enjoy the grand final last year? Tell us what.
Well, I tried not to, but I couldn't. I thought they were wonderful.
Yeah.
By the end, I thought, oh, that is fantastic. Because they really did play as well as you'd seen a club play for a long time. They were really fantastic. So I had to push myself aside and say, just enjoy what these guys are. And this has been a hard ride for them, and they're doing beautifully. So, no, I was very proud of them, I must
admit. Bill said, the book is The Tale of Two Men. We're going to get to the bottom of that next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I went to pick it up, and as I was driving home, I heard the bags rustling and moving.
Moving.
And we're joined by Neil Balm, whose new book, Neil Balm, A Tale of Two Men, is out now and available in paperback, ebook, and audiobook, JB.
So Balmy, I first came across you as a student at Pembroke School, which is on the parade of Norwood.
Yes, I know where
and
it is.
And I used to, with my mates, walk up the parade.
I knew too many people who could afford to send their kids there.
No, it wasn't a joke. It was my second school, Balmy. Don't worry.
I got another one that wasn't going so well,
so I got moved on. But it was brilliant. We used to go to the parade and watch Norwood especially battle it out against Port Adelaide, the huge rivalry.
It was.
Full house, an amazing place. And you were the premiership coach that year, 1984.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I must admit, just to go back over the history, I play at Richmond. I play mostly under Tommy, a bit under Bones, but Tommy, and it was kind of his culture. And in a funny way, we were dissuaded from actually thinking about the game. Just do what's simple, which is head over the ball, do your best, kick it as long as you can, and we'll start all over again. And you're almost finessing if you tried to do anything else. And I'm always looking at the game thinking, there's more to this game than just that. And that's not having to go at Tommy, because what he did was very successful. But I could see there was something else. And funnily enough, when Barry Richardson came in and coached for a while, we kind of thought a similar way. And so I knew there was somewhere a bit different. And so when I couldn't play anymore as a 27-year-old, remember I had arthritis and couldn't run or whatever, I was lucky enough that Norwood took a huge risk in approaching me and talking to me and then appointing me as their coach. Yeah. I'm a 28-year-old madman.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think they could figure out that I got the game. But I was very lucky that I did go to Adelaide and go to Norwood particularly because I learned so much about the game because there's all this other stuff that yeah. they do, which you kind of saw it, but there's a way of maximising it. And blokes like the great John Wynn and Wally Miller, who was the footy man at Norwood, were really, and quite a lot of the players are really helpful in saying, well, this is the way we look at it here. And I learned an enormous amount.
Gary McIntosh, yeah, Michael Aish.
Yeah,
and then in the end, players, Craig yeah. Kelly, old Cementhead.
Yeah, Cementhead.
Yeah, had him to deal with.
Absolutely. No, he was good. No, he was terrific to coach.
Yeah. So that was
Roberts,
an amazing.
And, quite a lot of them, yeah.
And then back into Melbourne and the glorious run of at Collingwood and then Geelong and now Richmond.
What about that? I've got to ask him about that. Because you came to Geelong in 2007. They haven't won a premiership in 44 years. Guess what they do in 2007? They win a premiership in your first year. They win another two when you're there. You go to Richmond. They haven't won a premiership for 37 years. And you is there a secret?
Well, if there is, I'm keeping it.
Oh, I know. Is it in the book? You got to read the book.
Well, it is in the book. But it just talks about encouraging and challenging and helping people. I mean, but that's where footy's come such a long way. Once it used to be, do your best, bust your gut, and if you didn't, it was blame and shame in a sense. And so for some people that works, but it doesn't really work. Mm. And we're much better now at it doesn't stop us from making the hard decisions and challenging people to do the right thing. And we've got to drive them to be elite, but we've got to do it with support and help. How can we help you get there? What happened that time? What do we want to happen? What can we do about it? Rather than, you dickhead, you're making me look like a bad coach or whatever it was.
Yep.
And I think I brought that to all places I came to because what I could see. And I think it probably helped a bit. And it was all about everyone buying in and it's about us and it's collaboration.
It's a good word.
Because I can tell you, 1 + 1 + 1 is a lot more than 3 if you're on the same page. Yeah, right. And that's what we are. Our game is that. It's just 18 people at a time on the field. And if they work together, I'm telling you, you're going to be hard to stop. Now, that doesn't mean stars aren't important and ability's not important and all those things. But this is the unknown, the little extra thing. And I think in my own funny way, if I look back over the history, that's what I always brought.
Yeah.
So Bomber Thompson, Chris Scott, and now Damien Hardwick, all extraordinarily good coaches.
Yeah, love them all.
What have they got in common? What's the one thing they've all got in common?
Well, I think they've all got that really madness to drive their players, but I think they also have all got that capacity to put the arm around them and help them get there, not just get what you got. But if you've got a bloke who's got a few little issues or a few problems or he's not doing some things right, work it out with him, help him with it. I think they all do that particularly well.
Yeah. Who was the best side? The Richmond Old Boys, which are unbelievable centre line and Kevin Bartlett, all that. The Geelong sides or the Richmond sides, the current one?
Well,
here's an interesting question.
I was talking to Steve Kernan before, and the best side was that state side.
Oh, yeah.
Where
tell us about
what we did. We played the state game. SA plays WA. Yeah. It must have been 75 it must have been.
That would have been later.
85.
Yep.
And we had all of those good kids, Adelaide, still home. Steve Kernan, Peter Motley, Craig Bradley, Johnny Platten.
Chris McDermott. Tony McGuinness.
The Jarmans, the Tony McGuinness, Michael Aish, Gary McIntosh.
There's your side.
And what we had, we also had this mad bugger who was coaching there called Malcolm Blight.
Oh.
And I rang him up. I said, Blighty, I've got this coaching job and I've got something that I reckon you'd love to do. He said, what's that? He said, I want you to play full forward with all these guys. And I think he said, yes. So we played against WA. It was just local
Waffle Sandful.
And Johnny Todd was coaching them, so they were serious, but we smashed them because it was just wonderful. And again, that's not the best, but they were wonderful. It was just one of the lovely things that I was lucky enough Blighty to be able to do. I think Blighty kicked 6 or 7, and I think he kicked 6 and Sticks kicked 7.
Oh,
I think, but it was wonderful. But which is the best? I hate to ever say because they can't play against each other. It doesn't matter. But if you're playing with Royce, you're pretty lucky.
Yep.
If you're playing with Dusty, you're pretty lucky. Yeah. I reckon. Yeah. If you're playing with Charles Selwood, I reckon you're pretty lucky. Or Gary Ablett Jr., you look pretty lucky too. So I've been lucky. I've been involved with a lot of good people. I don't want to individualise.
I got that score here. 1985 state game, South Australia, 30 goals, 18, 198. Western Australia, 16-5. They still kick 16, 111. So you won by 87 points, kicked 30 goals.
Well, clearly, I didn't spend a lot of time on the defence.
No. Streaming forward.
Wow.
It was a wonderful day. It was over in Perth.
It was, yeah.
Tale of Two Men is the book. Anson Cameron has put it together about the great Neil Baum. It's available in paperback, ebook, and audiobook. So get in, get stuck into that. It's one of the great footy stories, Barmy.
Anson's written it beautifully. I've been very, very lucky. He's done a terrific job. He's a mad Geelong bloke as well.
Brilliant. Great
seeing you. He's a good bloke then.
Thank you.
Neil Baum on the Rush Hour, Triple M.